As we mentioned, we're joined in the studio by Terry Taylor, who spent 6 years as a United Nations weapons inspector. He now heads the Washington, D.C. office of the International Institute on Foreign Relations. Mr. Taylor, thanks for being here with us this morning.
My pleasure.
And Iraqi officials have said to you, and you have heard it said by them, we have no weapons of mass destruction. Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that. And I think it'll be fascinating when we see the results of this declaration. This is a pivotal declaration. Mm-hmm. This is, in fact, the last chance, as President Bush has described it, and I think as Prime Minister Blair of the UK has described it, for them to actually come clean. And it's vital, in a sense, to get a proper assessment of what's in this document. But as a plain statement, we have no weapons of mass destruction or prohibited missile programs. That's just not credible with the evidence that's available publicly now.
Yeah. Is this declaration that's being made, is it taken straight-faced? I mean, at some point will U.S. and British intelligence say, but what about this, what about that? Or will they say it at least to the U.N., and someone will say it to the Iraqis?
Well, more likely they're going to pass this information to the U.N. Monitoring, Verification, and Inspection Commission, that's UNMAVIC, and, of course, to the International Atomic Energy Agency as well. I think it's quite right that they didn't release information ahead of this declaration, mm-hmm. because one has to remember the essential point in the ceasefire resolution, which is still extant, it's still the basic document, puts the onus on Iraq to declare show and tell, if you like, and to dismantle. So it's not, the onus is not on the UN inspectors and the IA inspectors or any other country to go and find if they can. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is about. So this is Iraq's last chance to make a credible and verifiable declaration, and we've just got to wait and see if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. One of the features of this plan under which this raft of inspectors, if I might call them that, have entered Iraq and have undertaken these inspections that are different from yours, is that it was specified this time by the U.S. and Britain that they have the authority to take Iraqi scientists outside of Iraq and their families as well. How could this change the kind of information that's available?
Well, I don't think that's as important as some have made out. Mm-hmm. I think Dr. Hans Blix, the head of UNMAVIC, the chief UN inspector in effect, I think has made clear the difficulty of doing something like that, of mm-hmm. somehow the UN is a defector organization. And I think it's one can't guarantee that key people who know the vital information, even want to leave Iraq anyway in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it's my experience of inspecting in Iraq and doing interviews that these indeed were productive if you went about them the right way. Mm-hmm. But if you gave the Iraqis a list of names and said, we want to talk to these people in this room over here, that plainly brought very little value because the people were coached and prepared or you were simply told they were not available. But we did create opportunities through imagination and surprise where we did interview people very successfully and got some very valuable information. So mm-hmm. I would say it's something that's useful for Dr. Blix and Mohammed El-Baradei to have in their back pocket just in case somebody says, I will tell you everything, but you've got to get me out of the country now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might happen. And I think they might get lucky in that respect. But I don't think it's as important a provision mm-hmm. as one might think.
Based on your experience there, Mr. Taylor, what would inspectors need on the ground right now over the next few weeks?
Well, they need the results of this 11,000-page-plus document, and that's going to take them a little while. It will guide their future inspection effort, and they'll be matching it with the information they already have from the previous UN and IEA inspections, mm-hmm. and also to new information they might already have or might get, not just from government, but from open sources. There's an enormous amount of information that certainly I, as an inspector, found immensely valuable from open sources. Mm-hmm. They have to, for example, if there are declarations about supplies of material to Iraq, maybe the inspectors, as we did, have to go to the companies that are all around the world mm-hmm. to check that this is true, to check the quantities are correct, and when the dates when this stuff was sent,
because they could report one level, and if that doesn't match up with what was actually sent through a vendor.
This was a vital ingredient in our success in the UN Special Commission. One mustn't forget that the UN Special Commission was actually very successful. Mm-hmm. One tends to forget that because of the way that those inspections came to an end.
Yeah. What role is there for U.S. and British intelligence right now? Openly, they are granted a role that wasn't true under your regime, was it?
Well, no, I don't think that's right. I think that they have the same role. Yeah. I, as an inspector, and many of my colleagues benefited from the handover intelligence. And I have to say very clearly, not just US and British, but from many other countries as well, mm-hmm. immensely valuable information. I don't think UN inspectors and IEA inspectors can do this just with their own information internally and what they might get from open sources. They do need the support of governments, all governments. And the UN resolutions make it place an obligation on all UN member states mm-hmm. To give information, if they have it, that will help the inspectors. This is not just something done voluntarily. There is a legal obligation on governments to give this kind of information.
And in the half a minute we have left, Mr. Taylor, is there a difference in attitude that you can detect in the Iraqi government between this time and your time?
Well, I think there's a similarity in one sense, that it's clear that when faced with a threat of the use of substantial force that might sweep the regime away, they feel they have to cooperate to some degree, and they make a fine judgment to the degree of that mm-hmm. cooperation. So what we're experiencing now is something like we experienced in the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. And so I think the dynamic of a threat of the credible use of force is a key factor in this situation now.
Mr. Taylor, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Terry Taylor is the former UN weapons inspector in Iraq. He now heads the Washington, D.C. office of the International Institute for Strategic Studies, joining us here in our studios.